I want to continue this study through the Psalms, and tonight we're going to do Psalm 127. That's the next one in picking up our series from the Psalm of Ascents, Psalm 120 to 134. This is number 8. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look briefly into your word, to stop in the midst of a busy life, confused world, in the midst of all kind of confusion in our nation and the danger that lurks in especially the Far East and Lord, in even in our own country. Lord, we pray for your mercy upon America and your mercy upon the church, that we would make a difference, we would proclaim your name. Help us now as we get back to the real matter of worship, of ascending your holy hill and these Psalms of Ascents. And Lord, as we consider the pilgrim's home, Lord, may we honor you in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. We've already seen the pilgrim's peace, the pilgrim's vision, Psalm 120, 121, 122, the pilgrim's joy, the pilgrim's faith, the pilgrim's protection, pilgrim's security, the pilgrim's dream, and now the pilgrim's home. Remember, the pilgrims were those who were leaving their area of Israel and making their way to the national place feasts and times of national worship, and so they were coming from a point of a low elevation and ascending Mount Zion. And then a couple of our studies last May, before we took a break for the summer, it was a time in which they had entered the courtyard of the temple complex and were remembering, again, the great privilege of worship. Okay. So first thing we want to see then in this passage is the familiar passage, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So the builder of the home is Jehovah God. We are his hands and his feet as he uses us to build. But if we're not building according to his blueprint, we're going to labor in vain. So a pilgrim, a worshiper of God, a follower of Jesus Christ is someone who sees the home as a sanctified realm. It's a place of worship. I mean, family worship we've talked about in this church many times. I enjoy my times at home with especially my last child at home, my wife and I, praying with Joel and reading scripture and all that. But again, to just contemplate the home as foundational to church, to our relationships with God, he sanctifies the realm. So unless the Lord builds the house, unless it's driven by our love for God, his word, seeing the foundation stones of his word, then we build in labor in vain. Secondly, the protector of the home. God protects our homes. You know, God. It says here, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. He's given us simply another perspective. Now, it's still dealing with the home life, but what he's doing is he's emphasizing now again who God is in relationship to your home. You can't manufacture Christianity. God says the home is to be set apart for God, sanctified. He is the one who's the foundation, and we're to build upon that. And then he's the protector of that home as he watches over the city. And he watches over the city by his wise counsel to us from his word. We see with his eyes the realm of our home and sense the protection. I was at 30:30 today, we were talking about, again, how God protects us, and he protects us often by bringing trials in our lives to rock us and shake us. And that's a preservation, that's a protection from God, you know, to bring us to our senses. Otherwise, often our pride takes over and we don't really see life as we should see it with humility. So God will humble us, and that's a form of protection. And so he's always watching over the city of God, his people. And again, the watchman, even though he may be watching, but he may be doing it in his own strength. He may be doing it out of legalism. He may be doing it in such a way that he is seeing that he's the end all. It's in his power. Often, I'm sure the men of this room would agree, I have to often remind myself, when you know, you see stuff on the news, you read things on the internet, and you realize this is an evil world, you know, we live in. And you look at the newspaper 3 times a week that has lists of people just arrested all the time for drugs and home invasions, and you know, if you stop and think about it, the only hope we have is that God protects us, but we have to use wisdom, and we have to pray. But if we think we're the end all that's going to protect us, then we're not seeing life as we should see it. And so again, we need to be providers and protectors, absolutely, and be building the home. But, you know, it says also, in regarding to building the home, that a woman, again, who doesn't live for the Lord tears down her house, but a woman who fears the Lord sustains the home. I can't remember what psalm that is, but again, it reminds me of this important factor that building, protecting. You know, in First Peter chapter 2, again, it gives us more insight into this whole idea of building. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in the home, notice he says in verse 4, as you come, chapter 2, verse 4, 1 Peter, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So this idea, again, of living stones, of foundation, God's the builder, but we're building with him, and yet it's not in our strength that we labor in vain. If we think it's all about us, it's not about us watching over this city. Again, we stay awake in vain if the Lord's not watching over the city. And same thing in provision, verse 2. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So again, he shows, again, you could be a provider, but you could be a provider who's imbalanced. See, it's a sanctified balance to realize that, yes, I am the provider, but it's God. God is the one who's enabled me to provide for my family. You know, so you can see it here, the pilgrim, as he's approaching Mount Zion, as he's there in worship, he's being reminded about, you know, foundationally, God works through families, builds nations, worshipers. He is the one who protects us, ultimately speaking. He is the provider, ultimately speaking. And we can really be diligent providers, but we can be workaholics. See here? It is in vain that you rise up early and go to bed late. You could be imbalanced in your hard work. You could be a provider, but doing it all in your own strength, believing everything depends upon you. And again, that's the challenge. I remember reading a survey to my kids in my worldview class today. And again, it's an old man in the mirror type of survey, but it said, for every 10 men in the church, there'll be 10 men struggling with balancing work and family, right? 10 out of 10. Also said only 1 out of 10 in the church will have a biblical worldview. 5 will have an addiction to pornography. 4 will end up being divorced. I mean, had interesting, shocking kind of surveys across evangelicalism, you know, just... But But the one particularly that stood out in that point, as I said a moment ago, is 10 out of 10 will struggle with how to balance work and family. You know, that's a constant pressure. I know I still struggle with it, you know. Absolutely. My wife helps me think through that often, you know, because otherwise I'm working constantly. I got to stop and rest and exercise and be with my family and all those challenges. Otherwise, there's always work to do, and you could be diligent at work and still be imbalanced and think you're doing much for the Lord, but you're burning out. See, you rise up early, you go to bed late, you're anxious. And he says, listen, God's contrary to that is he'll give to his beloved even in their sleep. The way to be balanced is to be sane with your with honesty about your imbalance. And get rest. And that's what he says here. Because God gives rest to his people like he gives grace. And then lastly, the rewarder of the home. And notice, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The rewarder of the home is God. And he rewards families, typically, with a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb. Sanctified arrows shot out of the home into the world to impact the next generation. You know, as you young guys here in the room, see, there's only a few young guys. Well, we're here, you three guys. You know, as you guys look at your children and, you know, you have to see them as living messages that you'll send to a time you'll never see. I remember reading that quote years ago, Neil Postman. It just reminded me, again, that right now counts forever with your kids. And yes, it is spending time with your kids, yes, but it's loving on your kids. It's counseling and discipling your kids. But again, the reward of the home are these arrows. And the arrows aren't to be kept in the quiver, but they're to pull out and be shot into the world. So children are a heritage from the Lord. They are the fruit of the womb, a reward. They're like arrows in the hand of a warrior father. Are the children's one's youth. And then happy, blessed, happy, is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I remember Jim Elliff making a comment about that years ago. He said, you know, the goal of every head of household should be to try to be a man of wisdom. And he said, you should be seeking to give direction to your church and your city. And he said, this is a call to men in the church to speak boldly and openly to their culture and to their city, to their area, about what it means to be a man of God, what it means to have wisdom in a foolish age. I think there's a lot of truth to that. So it says, he shall not be put to shame when the assumptions are, he speaks with his enemies in the gate, in the front of the gate. The gates were, in the ancient world, they entered the city, right? And the elders were the ones who were there, and they were the ones discerning and protecting the city. So you can't underestimate the importance of the pilgrim's home. Our home is a foundation stone, and the home must not be neglected. We must keep building our homes, protecting homes, providing for our homes, and then looking to God's reward as he gives us a heritage, not to hold on to the children, but to shoot them like arrows into the culture, to strike against the culture for the glory of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful psalm, this reminder, your word, the wisdom from your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us again of a foundational truth that you work through families, that you are the one who's behind it all. Otherwise, we labor in vain. We stay awake in vain. We overwork. We lose balance. We forget children are gifts to be raised up and loved on and sent to a time we will not see. Lord, give us good health spiritually, physically. Lord, find us faithful to you. Bless us now and show us how to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.